Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Top Deck Time. I am Luminous.
I'm Rico.
And this is our first episode of a brand new podcast. As the title suggests, and I do apologize if you hear the low humming of drilling going on. As the title of the podcast suggests, we're going to try our best to talk about the top decks, or what we perceive to be the top deck of each week. We're not saying this is a deck that you could now queue and get top master with it. What we are saying is that these are good decks to be aware about and to look into if you're trying to experiment and just improve overall. And today we're going to start off by discussing two of the three new cards and what we did with those three new cards, or two of the three new cards. Speaking of which is Azendo as well as Arcane Monitor.
Right. So, Lumi wanted to brew a little bit with Azindel. We both tried Rilgan for a bit, but decided that ultimately the card doesn't have enough support right now. Like, I don't know, at least I couldn't make him work at all, to be honest. Every time I had him in the deck, the deck was functioning actually better without him when I drew my cheaper units. I don't know, what was your experience with Rilgan?
So when I win, it wasn't Rilgan winning for me. It was, you know, like everything leading up to it, like, you know, the Crown Watch Paladin, I don't know, Valkyrie.
Or Silverwing Familiar.
Yeah, Silverwing Familiars. So we went different approach. So I tried it with Shadow, with Rapid Shots, and Whisper Silk Cloak, the equipment that gives you evasion. So I'm trying to one-shot people, and there were games where opponent was at like 18-20 and I just boom 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 like dead in one hit. So that was pretty cool, but I've lost
more
games.
Yeah, he can be really explosive.
Yeah. I've lost more games, you know, to just not assembling the combination.
Yeah. I mean, I tried an approach with fire to be able to run plate. And plate was brutal. Like I won most of the games I won were due to plate, and very few were due to Rilgan, to be honest.
I mean, at a certain point, if you slap a plate on just about anything, you win.
On anything, yeah.
Especially when they have Aegis, like Silverwing Familiar or Crown Watch.
I mean, on Silverwing, it's especially brutal. Like, who can race that?
Right. So I don't think we're saying Rilgan is terrible. We're just saying that with the current card set, he lacks the support he needs. Maybe when we receive actually more Huru cards, we're going to see, I don't know, a more aggressive theme decks.
Yeah, I mean, the card is definitely strong. It definitely has potential, but I just couldn't get him to work.
Right. So do you want to talk about Arcane Monitor first, or do you want to talk about Azendo first?
Sure, I can start. So I had the easier part. Like, Lumi decided to try to brew with Azendo. Brew is a strong word. I played a Canon Monitor. Like, the card tells you pretty much what you want to do with him, right? You want to play a lot of cards that produce multiple units, a lot of small units, and then, like, basically you flood the board and get a pretty large reward with the Canon Monitor, because he rewards you twice for every unit you have, because the unit gets pumped and he himself gets pumped, so, yeah.
Wait, before we kind of go further, let me read the card. It's a 5-cost... 2 fire, 2 time for a 1/1. It has overwhelm, and it says +1/+1 for each of your other units, and then your other units have +1/+1. So,
right,
does two very different things. Allow you to go wide, as it gives them the, I guess the Xenon Obelisk buff, at least the first half of it, and then allow you to have a very big and tall threat to kind of punch through with the overwhelm. And you know, on average, how big was your Arcane Monitor when you cast it?
On average, I guess 7/7.
Okay, pretty decent.
Like I had a lot of 12/12, 14/14, 18/18, and sometimes it was just a 4/4. But on average, I would say, 6/6, 7/7, something like that.
Okay, so when you said that, you know, that kind of plays itself, what are some of the immediate go-to cards?
The most obvious ones are, I think, Assembler Line, Granadin Drone, and Marisen's Disciple.
Right.
As well as Xenon Obelisk, because it plays well with the above-mentioned cards as well. And when I saw him, I was like... So what I didn't like about him before I was playing the deck was the fact that when you play a lot of small units and cards that produce multiple units, one of the advantages is that you blank the opponent's removal spells, right? Like
Correct.
they have to target a Temple Scribe with their Death Strike or something like that, and that doesn't feel good for them. And targeting a Kanan Monitor certainly does. But what I found out is that he actually doesn't die to a lot of fast spells.
Death
Actually,
Strike and Desert Marshal, if you want to count that as a
yeah,
fast kill spell. Like, these are the only
right.
two that comes to my mind.
I mean, he's especially bad versus silence. That
Right.
is something to keep in mind. But aside from those two spells, it's really hard for I think it's impossible for the opponent to really interact with it on your turn. So when you play him, you can at least get one buffed attack in. So
Yes.
that's a huge plus.
And I
And
think that's a key difference between Arcanum Monitor and comparing him to Ryogan and Azendo that we'll talk about later, is that this is a 5-mana card that gives you an immediate impact.
Right.
And when you're kind of curving out with a proactive game plan of, I don't know, Temples or like Grenadin Drone, Temple Scribe, into Assembling Line, into Mirrorsense Disciple, when you slam the Arcanum Monitor, even if they kill it next turn, they're probably taking, I don't know, 18 damage or whatever at that point.
Yeah, a lot of extra damage at least. Yeah, so even if they are able to kill it, you get a reward. And if they are not, the card is actually insane. Like, I don't know why this card has Overwhelm. If you have a full, if you play a deck like this, it's very likely for you to end up in a board stall, right? And if you're in the board stall and you have like 10 units, this guy's 11 at 11 Overwhelm.
Right.
And if you can just attack with everything at a certain point, and they can't block all of your small units and put enough units in front of the giant overwhelmer.
So you're saying this guy doesn't need the overwhelm, but he has it.
He does. He does.
Oh, he
I mean,
does need it.
he
Okay.
doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. But him having it is so huge in the board stall,
Right.
because at some point, if you have two of them, your opponent can't block enough. It's impossible. Like if you have two of them and both are like 11-11 or 10-10. The opponent has to put so many units in front of those two that he can't block any of your other units, so he dies either way.
Okay, I do want to ask you a little bit more, less about the Arcanum Monitor itself, but more so in the deck that he goes into. You mentioned the kind of the token producer. Are those the only core cards? I've seen people like Temple Scribe. I imagine is in that list of
Temple
units.
Scribe is definitely a four of, I think, in this list.
What about the
And
Amber Acolyte? Is that also a unit you want to go to, or is that?
yeah, actually, I wanted to mention that. Amber Acolyte is actually, I think, secretly one of the best cards in the deck. Amber Acolyte and Talia's Favorite both. At least in the version I ended up with. Because I play four Arcanum Monitor, four Xenon Obelisk, and three General Isalio.
Right.
So I want to hit my power, and I also want to flood the board, and they do it all. Like Amber Acolyte, Talia's Favorite, and to a less extent Temple Scribe, they do everything I want to do in the early turns.
You know,
They become huge.
judging from the units that you're listing out and kind of the playstyle that you're prescribing, it feels like this is just Praxis Shimmer Pack. Well, Praxis version of Shimmer Pack, like, except you just kill faster and do more.
Yeah, except you don't have Pack, but I think the rest of the deck is stronger. Like, Shimmer Pack is a card that is insane, and it's very sad that we can't run it. But I think that the advantages of Arcanum Monitor, Isalio, and especially Assembly Line outweigh the Shimmer Pack.
Okay.
At
So
least
would you say if you're
I have
looking to
feel.
play a token-based deck, is this is the better deck compared to Shimmer Pack?
It feels better to me. Like, I
Okay.
played a lot of Shimmer Pack, and I love Shimmer Pack. Don't get me wrong, but this deck felt very good, to be honest. You have more payoff card in cards in Arcanum Monitor and generally Isalio. You can only actually, I think it's not so good to play more than two Shimmer Pack because they are eight drops after all. But
Right.
you can easily play four Arcanum Monitor and two to three Isalios.
So
So you have more early payoff cards.
I do want to ask you about the non-core card, the stuff that you kind of swap in and out, right? So I'm pretty sure a lot of people, if they're playing the deck already, they might not have Azaleo. So kind of talk to me about that card.
Okay, so Isalio, my thought was that if you are going to play units that are making the opponent's removal better, you might as well play more of them because your opponent, I mean,
That's
your
some strong
opponent has
logic you
only
just
so
don't get.
much, your opponent only can remove so many of them, right? So if
Sure.
one of them sticks, it's great. If you play only four units that are weak to their removal, they will have the removal and they will cancel each other out, kind of. But if you play more, you can sometimes overload the removal. And this Isalio is very, very good on its own. Actually, a 6-4 quick draw is very strong, and it has a lot of synergy with your deck. Like oftentimes you can play Isalio and just finish the game right there. Like +2/+0 on all of your little units is no joke.
So I do want to ask you about that effect, right? So you are running Azalea. Does that mean you're not running rallies? I've seen a lot of these Praxis tokens using rally as a finisher.
Yeah, I'm not playing Rally actually.
Okay, so tell me why you prefer Azalea over rally, because they are a very similar effect, I guess, sort of. But Azalea obviously comes with a 6/4 body.
Right. I don't like playing Rally too early, to be honest, because I don't because with when you play Rally, you oftentimes can trade up when they block or align their blocks, but you are still trading. And I don't like trading early with the deck because Xenon Obelisk and Arcanum Monitor and Isalio, of course, they all reward you for having a lot of units on the board when you play them.
Oh, so that's very
So
interesting.
I don't like trading early with Rally. So when I play Rally, I wouldn't play it before turn 5 or 6 anyways.
I see. So, because just on the face of the deck, it seems extremely aggressive, and there, what I perceive it to be is that a lot of times you just press A, and you're gonna lose like 2 to 3 tokens, but you're gonna get through, I don't know, 10 to 12 damage. But what you're saying is you're. If those board stalls starts to happen, you're gonna just hold back. You're not gonna sacrifice tokens for damage because eventually, Arcanum Monitor, Azalio, and maybe even Obelisk is gonna just
Right.
give you the Alpha Strike. So you actually hold back.
I try not to trade when I don't have when I don't have to, because because the later the game gets, like if you hit 8 power and an obelisk, or if you hit an Arcanum Monitor, you essentially get +2/+2 for every unit of
Right.
stats. Yeah.
Does it always have the similar feel of Shimmer Pack where you feel like once you slam down Obelisk, it doesn't really matter what happens, you just have that inevitability. Like you just feel like you're gonna win the game? Is
Yeah,
this like
like
similar?
when you have Obelisk running, or when you have a Arcanum Monitor and they can't remove it, like everything you do is just so good. Like if you play an assembly line when you have seen an Obelisk, it's just so insane already. Or if you play like a Marisen's Disciple, even
Right.
a Temple Scribe becomes so strong later in the game.
Yeah.
Like when you hit your Xenon Obelisk and you can just chain units, yeah, it's
So.
disgusting actually. So. And all right, so that's the reason I play Isalio over Rally. That's one reason I play Isalio over Rally, and the other reason is it's just a great standalone threat. Like I play against a lot of Armory, and after a harsh rule, I'd rather play a top deck or play an Isalio than a Rally.
Sure.
yeah,
It's less dead of a card, right? Like it's.
it's less dead of a card. Also, it can attack really, really well into board stalls because of the quick draw. Like if you have an a Xenon Obelisk or an Arcanum Monitor, if you're getting 7, 8, 9 power worth of quick draw, he becomes a nightmare to block.
Right. I think kind of coming into this discussion before I talk to you about Arcanum Monitor, what I was viewing Praxis Token was like much more lower to the ground, almost like a Jito slash Queenless, where you're trying to burn people out. But what I'm getting instead is kind of complete, well, not complete opposite, but a different end of the spectrum, right? It's more Shimmer Pack, it's bigger. You're trying to.
Yeah, playing a bigger version than many of the people I ran in while leathering.
Right,
Like
and.
I played a lot of mirror matches, and most of my opponents played a lower to the ground version of the deck. I like playing for the late game.
And you're saying you're winning those mirror matches a lot of times?
Yeah, I mean the lower to the ground versions, they are running like Oni Ronins or Pyron Knights, and they are especially bad in the mirror when there are assembly lines and Grenadine drones laying around all the time.
Right.
And also, so their early cards match up really poorly against the core cards of the decks. But my top end cards are really big trumps in the mirror. Like playing an Isalio in the mirror is very backbreaking oftentimes.
Right, and not only are you running Arcanum Monitor and Azalea, you're also running Sandstorm Titans, which
is... Yeah, the full playset action.
I mean, we don't need to talk about why Sandstorm Titan is good, but it seems like the four drop of choice in this deck is Mirison's Disciple and Obelisk. Like,
yep. I also run four of those. I play a lot of top ends, so that's why I also run four Tali's Favorite and four Ember Collide and find them to be great.
Okay. I mean,
so yeah, Sandstorm Titan is another unit that qualifies as a removal magnet. So when you play a turn four Sandstorm Titan while you are holding an Arcana Monitor, it's a win-win situation. Either he removes it and doesn't have the removal for the Arcana Monitor, or he doesn't and gets beat by a Titan.
Right. Now, I'm sure a lot of people, listener out there, will be like, well, doesn't this deck just die to a Lightning Storm? Doesn't this deck just die to Harsh Rule? If you haven't really played against Shimmer Pack or played with Shimmer Pack, one big lesson there is that once you have established an Obelisk, especially in a version that Rico is pointing out, in a bigger, going more later-oriented game version like this, once you have the Obelisks out, like, they could Harsh Rule you 2-3 times. But you're going to Temple Scribe into Talira's Favor into a 1-1, and suddenly you have, you know, you have a board again.
Right.
And
also, Sandstorm Titan is great against Harsh Rule. Like, they have to Harsh Rule the one Titan oftentimes if they don't find their Vanquish.
Correct. All right, other tech choices I wanted to ask you about. Have you ever considered Cloud of Ash?
I have.
Okay.
I have, and it was in the deck at that point.
And? How did it perform?
I decided that I have enough top end that I don't need it as a bot, as a stall breaker, and it was ultimately not good in the first few turns of the game to have it in your hand.
And
so it's a good top deck late, but the deck, the version I built is already very good late. I've definitely considered it, and I would play it if I played a lower to the ground version of the deck.
Okay, let's say you're running a lower to the ground version. Mm-hmm. You're looking at Rally or Cloud of Ash, like.
I think with how good Arcana Monitor and Xenon Obelisk are already buffing your units, I would rather play Cloud of Ash. I mean, I wouldn't play a lot of them. Like, actually, I wouldn't run more than two. But I think they are pretty good against the Combri decks.
Okay. The other card I wanted to ask you about was a very similar effect to the Arcane Monitor at the 3-drop slot, Unlock Potential.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts of running that card, or it's just a... Because it sounds like adding redundancy of that effect seems to be good, right?
Yeah, I think the card is... I think I would even prefer Unlock Potential over Rally, just because it helps getting your units out of Lightning Storm range. It helps keeping your units, because the toughness is boosted as well.
Right.
And it's a permanent buff, so that's nice. I didn't run it because I wanted my first few turns to just be a lot of cheap units and the later turns the rewards for having a lot of units in play. But I can see a more aggressive version wanting that card as well.
Right.
Instead of the Azalios, maybe.
Okay. And the other big surprising thing is that you're telling me you're cutting removal from this deck. You're cutting Torch.
Yeah, which I cut Torches.
It's like, which is blasphemous.
Okay, I know. I might sound like a madman here, okay, but hear me out. Like, when you play this deck, all you want to do in the first few turns is playing units. And if they have a unit that is slightly larger than yours, it doesn't matter, because you can trump their cards with Titans, Obelisks, Monitors, Azalios, what have you. You can multi-block if you have to. Like, the Torch isn't as great against the aggressive decks as you would want, and they are horrible against the more controlling decks. Like, having a Torch against Armory or against Combre is really, 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 really bad. And I always wanted myself, I found myself wanting to draw a unit instead of the Torch. So I slowly cut back on the Torches, and now I'm at zero. So I only play 3 Scorpion Wasps and 3 Obliterates
right
now. You
play Scorpion Wasps?
I am.
Interesting. Why? What's the idea behind
Because
Scorpion?
I wanted some form of removal against creature decks, but I found Torches to be lacking, and Scorpion Wasp is the next best.
It's a dual purpose.
And it's a unit.
Okay.
It's a unit. It can actually beat down, and also it's great against Armory because of the ambush.
Right.
Okay. And actually, the evasion is relevant. Like, when you have a lot of pump effects, it can get the 3-power. It can be a 3-power flying unit, and that's actually a good clock in a bot stall as well.
Now, I did hear that you said you're running Obliterates, which I was going to say, with a deck style like this, you want some sort of reach to finish, right?
Yeah.
And this kind of doubles up as a removal and reach. Sometimes, I don't know, blowing up a Titan and allowing the board to get in.
Right. So what the deck would want is Vanquish, but splashing another fraction is very hard, actually. The mana of the power base of the deck is already not so good, despite the fact that you can run Embecolites and Talia's Favorite, because you have a lot of double time, double fire requirements.
Right.
So you want some removal to remove the big units.
Comparing to Shimmer Pack, which I think both of us has played a lot in the past.
Yeah, a lot.
I think I would assume that this particular deck is going to have a little bit tougher requirement compared to Shimmer Pack. Because Shimmer Pack, you just needed double primal on 8. Yeah, that was the only time you needed double primal, and then you just you pretty much worry about time. Whereas this deck, you're trying to hit, fire on 1, a lot of times fire double on time on 4, right?
Double time on 2.
Temple Scribe.
It's really hard to curve Granite Syndrome into Temple Scribe, let me tell you.
True. Okay. And then you have to have double fire, double time by 5.
Right.
That's okay.
Double time before.
Okay, so tell me, do you routinely cast Arcanum Monitor maybe a turn later than you would like because of the rough requirements?
There were definitely some number of games where the power just didn't work out, the influence especially. But with the Arcanum Monitor, it's not as bad, because playing him later just means that you played more smaller units first, so that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, of course, you would want to be able to play it whenever you want to play it, not when your deck allows you to. But
right.
But I mean, you still get to play for Banner, for Seed, for Diplo, and Talia's Favorite and Temple and the Embecolite. So it's not like you lose all of the games due to influence or power screw, but it can happen.
How often do you lose to running out of resources? Because another card I want to ask you about is Vault of the Praxis.
Right, I wanted to talk about that as well, because I tried that card. Yeah. I had it in some versions of the deck. I played around quite a bit before I ended up on this list, and it was horrible for me.
Okay.
I've seen people play it a lot, and in theory. Of course, in theory, the card is great, right? Because you have a lot of cards that let you play multiple units all in one card, and you want to have a lot of stuff lying around on the battlefield, so it's good to have card draw. But let me tell you, taking your turn 4 off to not affect the board is just no option.
Okay.
And if you draw it later in the game, it's every time I had it in my hand, I wanted to play something else. I wanted to play a Disciple or a Titan or even an Assembly Line or an Obelisk or anything else, really, but Vault.
And I think the games where you could actually take the turn off to play the Vault, you're probably in such a good shape that
right.
The
like
Vault
if you,
is probably not necessary.
If you can afford to take a turn off, you are winning already.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're all seeing the absurdness of what Vault can do, when it does go off. It's just
when you have Vault in play, it's amazing. If you have it in play, it's great. Everything you do becomes absurd. But just taking the turn off is such a huge cost.
How would you actually compare this card to what's that? The four power card in time where you just draw two cards and give +1/+1 to any unit you draw. What's that card called?
Ancient Lore.
Ancient Lore, Is it even a fair comparison? Because, drawing two extra cards on...
Honestly, it might be. It might be a fair comparison. And I wouldn't play Ancient Law in any constructed deck, so...
Alright, fair enough. Now, I kind of thought I threw a lot of curveball at you in terms of cards that ask, whether you're playing or not. Is there anything that you're playing that, maybe I should have asked you about and I didn't ask you about?
I think we pretty much covered every card except we had Granadine Drone. The only card we haven't mentioned yet is Initiate of Descent, but...
Correct, yeah.
Actually,
what about something like Friendly Wisp? Have you considered that as well? Because
I've considered Friendly Wisp, but Friendly Wisp does nothing by itself, and when
you're
not
playing Titan, you're playing Azaleel, you're playing Arcana Monitor, which I imagine would trigger Friendly Wisp most of the time when it comes in.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. By that point, like when you're playing any of those cards, you're in good shape already, and if you're not, it's a 2-mana 1/1.
I guess so.
Like I'd rather have Temple Scribe until he is favored in the Embacolite every day of the week, or yeah, or Assembly Line Initiate. Every card I have that costs 3 or less mana or power, excuse me, I'd rather have than the Friendly Wisp. So
okay, well, we will include both Rico's lists on Arcana Monitor and my own list on Nintendo somewhere when we post this podcast, so you could, you know, look over the list. Any particular advice you would give to people piloting this particular list? Because you said you're doing extremely well, right? You ranked high into Master with this list, and then this is not to flame you or anything. You generally don't actually get into Master, at least this early into the season, because you're busy with school and stuff. But when you were testing for
right.
this deck, you just shot straight up.
So I started in Gold 3. Then I played a little bit of Railgun, which got me to Gold 2 in like 3 days or something. The deck wasn't good. And then it took me like one or 2 days to go to Diamond 1 with the deck.
Right.
And in Diamond, I used a Rakano deck.
Shame.
Shame, I know. I never did that. It was the first season, actually, I played with Fire.
I see.
But yeah.
So what advice would you give?
The advice I would give is you should value your units early higher than you would normally value a unit at that point. Like a Temple Scribe is not a 1-1, actually. It's a 1-1 that can turn into a 3-3. So keep that in mind when you want to trade. Ask yourself, do I really have to take the trade, or can I just keep it and draw an obelisk or play my obelisk I already have?
Yeah, when they're attacking
in, value your units when they are small because they will grow bigger.
When they're attacking in with that 2/1 Rakano Artisan, you know, sometimes it's okay to take that 2 and, you know, be back for 1.
Right. The other thing is when you're playing against the Harsh Rule deck, try to hold back like a Disciple or a Titan or an Assembly Line, like basically any card that is strong by itself or produces multiple units.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get impatient. I won a lot of mirror matches because my opponent just got impatient and started attacking. And let me tell you, when both of you have a lot of large units, the one who's doing the blocking is generally in favor.
Yeah, well, you're running Titan. You're running the bigger deck. So when it goes late, you're definitely advantage, at least in the Arcano mirror matches, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts on that nasty little card before we move on to Azendo?
On the card itself, I'd say the deck is very well positioned when there's a lot of mid-range decks because it can go over the top of mid-range or slightly less all-in or controlling decks. It's not as good if you are playing against a field that has a lot of harsh rules or
lightning storms.
Yeah. But it's especially good against Queen decks or Cheetah decks because you're playing a lot of 1-1s that replace themselves, and you can just trade against Cheetah because they don't have anything bigger than 1-1 or 2-2. And like when you play an Assembly Line and you trade for their Stranger and their Pyron Knight and their Oni Ronin, it feels good, man. I had that.
I had that
happen.
Yeah.
And it's good. Yeah. Okay. When there's a lot of aggro or mid-range being played, I think the deck is well positioned. Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. May your Arcano Monitors come down as, I don't know, what did you say the average was? 7-7? 6-6?
Yeah, 6-6, 7-7, something like that,
And beat face. All right, we're now going to flip the script. I was doing a lot of interviews, but right now we're going to talk about, instead of Azendo.
Tell me about Azendo. All
right, so Azendo is a 4-power 0-5, 2-time and 2-shadow influence. It reads +1 maximum power, so just like an Initiate Ascend. But it also reads, when another unit enters the void, increase this ability by 1. So when we first discussed this particular card, mm-hmm. you were not very up on the card, right? You said this card just needs to jump through too many loopholes to actually make it work. And then the ultimate comparison that you made is, would you rather play this or Secret Pages to just ramp you straight for one? And that was a question that really like kind of framed my mindset. It's like, man, Secret Pages is actually a lot better unless you're doing some crazy stuff with it. So I looked through a lot of different ways you could take advantage of that second line of text, which again reads, when another unit enters a void, increase the disability by one. So units entering the void, this is where I focused on. I was thinking, okay, when do I want to have units entering the void? Reanimator. So that's the first shell I went into. Here's the dream curve that I had, right? A Zendo on 4, turn 5, you play a power, so then you have 6 power total. You play another Zendo, right? Magical Christmas land here over here. And then you play Sporefolk. Sporefolk mills like 2 to 3 units, which procs a Zendo here. And then the turn after that, I'm looking at 10 to 12 power to do whatever the hell I want to be doing. A lot of times, Reanimator, you need to cheese out a big unit. A lot of times I'm just hard casting Vara on turn 6, which is kind of insane if you could get that curve. So that's the initial path I started with. I ran things like Sporefolk, Hero Song, and then the standard reanimating tools like Vera's. I kind of was deciding between Black Sky Harbinger, Reaper, and then Snow Crusher Animus as my top end.
Did you play Grasping at Shadows?
Oh yeah, obviously. That's reanimate.
How about Felon Cauldron?
I had one in the list because I do have a premium one, and then I just was like, okay, I'm gonna just cut it. It just doesn't do anything. Because the idea of the deck is I'm trying to cheese somebody out, right? I'm not trying to sit here and draw 5 new spells and have a good old day. I'm trying to cast Vara on 6 or on 5, obviously, with Grasping of Shadows. So, you know.
My idea was that if you play a Felon Cauldron on 3 and then play a turn 4 a single, you can then immediately discard a unit.
Correct.
But, yeah.
So that's where I started with. The deck is actually, I mean, as you imagine, with this kind of, you're trying to shoot for the moon, it's extremely fragile. Especially when a Zendo gets silenced or killed for whatever reason, you're just in a bad shape. To be fair, though, I have not ran into a lot of Suffocate a lot in the current meta. So
yeah, it's a card I have seen very little play of.
Yeah, so a Zendo never gets suffocated, which is like, okay, I'm fine. At worst, it's getting Deathstrike, which, you know, at least I'm trading at power parity.
That's fair.
I don't feel too bad about it. Against Combre is where you have the bigger issue, right? You know, they just Desert Marshal. So then I move into a different version where I feel like even though a Zendo is in the 75, I don't want him to be the star of the 75. I want him to be part of the 75, if that makes sense. So that brought me back to the question where you asked, is he better than Secret Pages? So then I asked myself, why don't I just run both? Because I'm now running a straight up ramp deck. I called it a Felm ramp because it's Felm Control plus a Zendo plus Secret Pages is kind of where I started with.
And so the time cards you're playing are Sindel and Secret Pages?
Yes, that's it. Oh, and
Flashing
and one more.
For ramp.
And one more, actually. And one more. I'll get to that one later. And the idea is, I'm trying to cheese people out, but it's actually much more less glass cannony because Secret Pages is going to get you a power no matter what. A Zendo, unless they deal with it immediately, is going to grab you a power.
Right.
And I'm casting Channel the Tempest on turn 6. I'm casting The Last Word on turn 7, turn 6. And when you are dropping, you know, when they're casting their, I don't know, what's a 6 drop in the meta?
Zalio? Daisho?
Daisho. When they're casting Daisho and I'm answering with Channel of the Tempest, it feels good, right? Like, when you're just ramping so far, that's the goal. And honestly, it's not that bad. The only other time card I'm running in the list is Scorpion Wasp. Because I find Scorpion Wasp much better than Annihilate, much better than Deathstrike. Predominantly because when you're blocking with the Scorpion Wasp, you're triggering a Zendo twice. Scorpion Wasp goes to the void. And then,
2 units go to the void.
Yep.
That's cool.
That's great. I just preferred, at first I was like, oh, I'm going to have 2 in. And then I took out Annihilate for Wasp. I took out Deathstrike for Wasp. So I just end up having 4. So that's kind of the tech that I think if you're running a Zendo, you should run at least 3 to 4 Wasp because it's just such a good blocker. Also protects your Zendo from big Warlock weapons. With the ambush part.
Right.
So the list I'm currently settling with is using the core of Film Control. So 4 Lightning Storms, 4 Bloodcasters, 4 Story of the Past, and then some number of Black Sky Harbinger, depending whether you want that as your top end, and of course 4 Wisdom of the Elders. And the reason I decided to go for a Film Shell is because what I've noticed in the early days of the ladder, it's nothing but Stone Scar, Jito. It's just like all of these, and of course Praxis Token, the deck that you've been doing extremely well. It's just all of these low to the ground decks. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to cheese them out with Lightning Storm. And I have been doing that. So I decided to go with Primo Shell. I have experimented in Zento with a Fire Shell. It sucked. I have experimented as a straight Zenin Shell. It just really lacked the drawing power that the Primo gives you. Yeah.
Because like what I was asking myself is, if you get a Sindel to work and right. say he survives a few turns and you have like 14, 16 power, because that's the thing that happens when he survives. Like he provides you a lot of power. What do you do with
what's
that much power?
Yeah, what's the payoff?
What's the payoff? Like you have to put a lot of work in to get some power and then what?
So would you say like Channel the Tempest, Last Word or Snow Crush Animus, is that not enough of payoff? Or do you want to
I think Channel the Tempest is very, very good with him because you can play a Channel the Tempest, remove a blocker or remove a weapon.
Right.
Or remove an attacker, rather, usually when you're playing a control deck.
True.
And then still play the cards you draw off the channel. So
correct.
This is something...
Here's the thing, right?
Like... That's something I like. But I don't know, like if you're playing a lot of the cards in your deck, so you make a Sindel work, and then you're sitting there with 12 power and you're using 8, and 4 are left unused, then... I'm thinking to myself, why do you run a Sindel? Right?
That's a great question. Like, what is the payoff, right? So, but if you look at the Film Shell, like, there's a lot of cards that are extremely power hungry. Like, Bloodcaster, for example. A lot of times in control matchup, you only play Bloodcaster at 10, right? You want
right.
to play it in ultimate.
Want to use it immediately.
Yeah. I have in multiple games where I played Bloodcaster ultimate, play another Bloodcaster ultimate, and still have power left to do more, right? So it doesn't, you're not being paid off by doing one amazing thing. You're not, I don't know, Sphinx's Revelation to actually use the MTG card here, which I just wish there was a Sphinx's Revelation. That would be the ultimate.
I think
payoff.
That would be very, very bad for the game, but.
True. But, you know, Bloodcaster one, old, Bloodcaster twice, old, that's a play. If you want to go Withering Witch into Black Sky Harbinger, that's 11 power play, which this deck could routinely do. I do have the one card package of Omen into a Zendel's Gift. That's 13 power. You could do it like immediately. And sometimes you just ramp out a Zendel's Gift and you just get them too. So it's to answer your question, no, there is not one card that you play every time and to take advantage of all this power, but there's a wide selection of cards that you could use given the situation to, I don't know, punish your opponent, if that makes sense.
I guess. I mean, it seems to me that if you're playing a Sindel and you have him work and then you go Omen into a Sindel's Gift, like you could have gone Omen one turn, a Sindel's Gift another, and have the Sindel be a Sandstorm Titan and be up a Titan. I think it's a good shell for a Sindel. I'm not sure a Sindel is that great a card. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely trying to force a Zendel to work. This is at least the most success I found with it. But I did actually watch Trudon play a different version, which is a straight Zenin version, Splashing for the Great Parliament. And what I found is that his deck did a lot more of what you're saying, like what are you doing with all that power?
Yeah.
And playing one card to give you four flyers is extremely, extremely powerful.
Oh, yeah.
So I find the top end of his deck much stronger than mine. But the problem of getting to the top end is I think
if you're playing a lot of top end, you're running into a problem. What if you don't draw a single?
Exactly.
What if they
so
just
that's
remove
the balance.
It?
That's the balance
right.
of the ramp deck, right? You're trying to ramp.
Right.
You're trying to get the top end, but you need to survive. So.
Right.
I don't know. I personally like the shell a lot, especially in the current meta when there's so many token decks running around. Because I have Lightning Storm as an early threat, and it's very common for me to storm into Withering Witch on 7. A lot of people like just said Withering Witch is dead, no reason to play that card after the nerf. It's still an extremely powerful effect.
Still very strong, yeah.
A lot of decks just can't beat that effect. So
oh, that's something I forgot to mention about Arcanum Monitor. Like if you play a Lightning Storm and follow it up with a Witch, their units will die, right? Because they have one toughness and they have been dealt 2 damage. But if you attack with your Arcana Monitor and a bunch of other units, like say your Arcana Monitor is 5/5 and you have 4 other units,
mm-hmm.
and your opponent blocks the Arcana Monitor with a 4/4 of his and blocks one of your other units dead, your Arcana Monitor will actually survive.
Yep.
And I'm not sure why that is.
I don't know if that's intended or it's bug, but I guess a more simpler way to actually describe the situation is you have 3 Grenadin drones, right? And you have an Arcana Monitor.
Right.
And I Lightning Storm that board. What I expected is everything to die.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
It doesn't. The Arcana Monitor survives. So
yeah.
I found that out the hard way when I Lightning Stormed it. It was like, what? What's
right?
happening?
But it's weird, right? Because with Witch it works the other way. Yeah. But yeah, that has been working out for me. Let me tell you, I was on the right end of that trade.
Right. Speaking of which, there are so many games where I Zendo on 4 and Lightning Storm and suddenly I just win. Because not only have I removed their board.
That sounds great, yeah.
Yeah, not only have I removed the board, next time I'm following it with, I don't know. Oh, in a couple of different versions, I've tried the Touch of the Umbran as well, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know, definitely a very strong top end. You know what made me think of cards like Last Word and Channel of Tempest is when I was playing the Reanimator version, a lot of times when I routinely cast Var on 6, which sounds already amazing, I found that it wasn't enough. Like, it wasn't enough to bring back Vara, to bring back another Vara and an Umbran Reaper. Because, I don't know, my Combray opponent just has Harsh Rule or some sort of insane reset button. So I was looking at cards that go even bigger than that. I want a card that give me some sort of immediate impact, more immediate impact than bringing back Varas.
Yeah.
So that's why I went Channel Tempest and, I don't know, Umbran Reaper, or not Umbran Reaper, Touch of the Umbran.
Yeah. What happens if they silence a unit that you cursed with Touch of the Umbran? Does it go back?
That never happened to me. I assume it does not. I assume you just keep the unit.
I assume it should go back, right? Because the you controlling the unit is part of the text of the
But it's on your side already, right? It's on your side of the board already. I mean, it loses lifesteal, I can tell you that.
I mean, we should try that out sometime.
We should. So I think my list is nowhere near as tuned as your Arcana Monitor list.
I mean, it's way harder to find to figure out, right?
And I think that's also more of the nature of you're asking the question by deploying threats. I'm trying to read the metagame and find the right answers. Find the right answers. And I settle on a version that is heavily relying on AoE because I felt like that's, you know, good against the low to the ground deck and also has some late game against the big Combray decks. But if there is just more mid-range, then I might need to switch to more just like point-blank removal. And I think that's the simultaneously both the strength and the weaknesses of control decks, given any hour of the day, like depending on what
the ability to adapt and the necessity to do so
yeah, that's probably the harder thing. So that's my run-in with Azendo. I don't think he's strong, but he could do some extremely absurd things.
Okay, one last question for the single decks. How did you do against Armory? Because it sounds like you would have a hard time against a deck.
Both the version I played, I just go over the top of Armory. Because Armory, they're trying to like get incremental advantage, right? They're trying to, I don't know, hit one thing with a Auric Runehammer, keep the hammer around, and then slam down a 4/4 to give it 4 more armor, to hit more of your things. It doesn't really matter when I'm playing Vara into Snowcrush Animus, right? You could have all the weapons
Fair
you
enough.
Want. I just go on top of it. And then same thing with Channel of Tempest. Boom. You know, I just kill your weapon straight up.
It sounds like they can kill you before you hit the 8 mana, and then even then if you do, they can Harsh Rule. So to me, at least in theory, it sounded like it would be a harsh matchup, but
I think traditionally compared to a Felm control list, like I think the Felm show of Bloodcaster into Sewer of the Past, that's actually a very strong defensive start, right?
True,
especially against your, I don't know, Sword of Ikaria. Like, it's never gonna punch through without you getting a 2-for-1. I think the problem of Felm control deck is that as the game goes to the later stage of the game, they're casting, I don't know, an 8/8 Daisho, and your units don't get any bigger. You're moving from a 2/5 to a 3/5. What's the top end? A 3/5 flyer with a lifesteal?
Still a 3/5, but this time it costs 6. Yeah,
yeah, it's still a 3/5. But the difference of the deck here is I'm casting Channel the Tempest for like 10 or 6, you know. I'm just blowing up your weapons. So I was actually also surprised by the fact that I'm playing a straight-up control deck, which generally has a terrible matchup against Armory. It's actually not as bad. I think I lose the game more to myself because I'm trying to cast double time, double shadow, and quad primal at a different various point of the game. That it's really, really tough. I'm running like a lot of seek powers. I'm running a lot of find the ways, you know, just to make sure that I hit my power on time.
Secret pages,
correct, yeah.
Right.
And it's very rarely that a Zendo comes down right at 4. But I think this deck is a lot more okay with him not coming down on 4 because you still have a lot of other things to do, such as Wisdom of the Elder, or Secret Pages, or Story of the Past. I've been ranting on a lot, but one last thing I want to say is that I think a lot of the success of this deck is a lot of people are incorrectly assessing the power level of Zendo. I've seen people just harsh ruling a Zendo. There was a game where the board was stalled for a long time, and I had much bigger threats. Snow Crush Animus just beating in for 4 every turn. And instead of silencing the Snow Crush Animus, they went for the Zendo. And I think if the deck is around more and people have better threat assessment of what a Zendo can or cannot do, then I think the deck will lose some percentage because a Zendo is actually a lot of times a red herring in the deck.
Okay.
Alright. Yeah, I ranted on a lot. I don't know if you have more questions.
No, I think you covered that quite well.
Okay. So if I have to rate the Arcano Monitor deck that you're providing, it's probably like a solid 8 or 9 out of 10. And by comparison to Zendo...
I'd say it's an 8.
Okay. But Zendo is more like a 5 or a 6, if that. So it's not too hot.
Yeah. I mean, it's way harder to figure out. It's way harder to build an Azindel deck than to build an Arcano Monitor deck.
Oh. Yeah. I will be remiss to not point out this interaction of... Whispers in the Void plus a Zendo.
Oh yeah,
because that
that was one that surprised me.
Yeah, apparently Cratelings are created by the Tormentor who's in the Void, but a Zendo still gets +1 maximum influence whenever they spit out.
Right, because they are created in the Void, so it's like the Void registers a new unit in it, but the unit then goes straight to the battlefield as a Spiteling.
And then eventually they do go back to the Void, so you're getting double dip.
Yeah.
The one last thing that I haven't really tested out is like the Witching Hour. You know, if you're looking to do, if you really
want to,
I mean,
if you want to sink a lot of mana, the Witching Hour is one way to do it, right?
Yeah. But
the 6 shadow is really hard to come by.
It's not really about the 6 shadow. It's just it's a Devourer problem. Sometimes casting 4/4s are just not that good.
Mm.
It's not immediate impact. It's not 8 damage to your face.
You have to put a lot of work into the card, and then it might not even win you the game.
Correct. Like I want immediate impact, so I'd rather cast Channel Tempest than the Witching Hour. Even though one costs 8 and one costs, I don't know, 24 or 22 or whatever it is.
Or 1. Like
or 1. Yeah, sure. Or 1. You know, like, moving forward, I think if in the future, if you have more, like, let's say flashback cards calling from MTG, like just more ways to take advantage of what a Zendo gives you, which is the extra power, then I think he has a lot more potential. But in the current card set,
if more Sinan supported cards are being released,
Okay, well that concludes our two decks of Arcano Monitor plus a Zendo. Anything that you kind of want to briefly discuss before we and the first podcast of Top Deck Time?
I would have briefly touched on the Rakano deck I used to get into Masters.
Okay, sure.
It's really nothing special. The only thing that I guess might be kind of blasphemous is that I didn't run Vanquish.
Okay.
And
how did you ever get through the Titan?
I run 4 Finest Hour and 4 Plates and Hammer of Might and Righteous Fury.
Okay. That's really a lot of top end. Righteous Fury and Plates?
Yeah, 2 Fury, 4 Plates. The full 4 Plates. Like, I realized when playing with Rilligan that Plate is just busted. Like, I never played fire decks, and I was always on the wrong end of the plate, and I was like, yeah, okay, they had plate, so I lose. But when you play with plate, it's like, they permafrost, and you're like, plate, dead.
Yeah, I just want to let viewers know, or remind viewers or listeners, that plate got nerfed. Plate used to
Oh, yeah.
be, what
Yeah,
was it,
plate.
a 4 power?
A 4 power plus 4 plus 4
Yeah, which
with the
was,
same text.
yeah, which would have been much
Way
better.
better.
Yeah.
Way better. The card was absurd.
Yeah, and
It
now
still is, though.
it's so absurd.
It still is.
So
So, yeah,
as
I cut back on the Vanquish because I ran into a lot of token decks and a lot of armory, and Vanquish was very bad against those decks for me, at least. And yeah, that's why I wanted to have more, a little more oomph, I'd say.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up the cutting the Vanquish part, because that is a very, very immediate reaction to what you're seeing, right? And this is something that I touched on earlier, especially when you're playing control decks. You want to be able to assess what the ladder meta is at your
Right.
rank and
Like,
adjust
it's.
accordingly.
Yeah, like Vanquish is such a strong card, and I was saying earlier that I wanted Vanquish in my token stack, but for Rakana, I just wanted to have immediate impact or more late game power, and I can easily see myself running up to 4 Vanquish again, depending on the decks I run into.
Correct. I guess if you're talking about a deck that hit you to master, as you imagine, tinkering what a Zendo has, let me sat at Diamond 1 for, like, I don't know, 3 days straight. I cannot actually rank up to master. And I was streaming, and one of my stream viewers, Sakuraki, just like, okay, just try this out. You're losing a lot. Try this out. So he gave me the good old Light Diffuse meme deck. You know which one
Right.
I'm talking about?
Oh yeah,
This
I saw that. I
the
saw that actually. I saw the
yeah.
stream.
The
Yeah.
25 power mono fire, light diffuse, Infernus, obliterate,
Light
flash
Diffuse didn't
fire.
seem good, but the rest of the deck actually seemed pretty
I
viable.
mean, light diffuse doesn't seem great, but there's not a better card in the fire set of card that I want to replace with light diffuse, because on average it's like 1 power deal 4, which is not
Is it on
terrible.
average a 1 power deal four?
I mean, this is me.
Is it?
I don't have a calculator calculating it, but it's generally 1 power deal
I have a
four.
hard time believing that, but I mean, yeah, it might be.
I mean, if it's a, would you play 1 power deal four?
Yeah.
Yeah, you play Light Diffuse. And that deck hit me to master, so I'm saying.
That's nice.
Oh.
So we both used the channeled our inner scumbag and played fire decks into masters. Is
Look,
that
I played a
what
meme
was
deck. I
happening?
played a deck that people would be like, I like your style. I don't know if anybody's saying that they like your style when you,
I doubt it. I
yeah.
doubt it a lot, actually.
I do want to say, though, and I'm sure you would actually agree with that when you play a lot, the Rakano. A lot of people have this opinion of, like, it's a brain dead deck, right? When they're playing fire based decks. I had a lot of interesting points of making decisions with the mono fire decks, because
Yeah,
they're,
definitely.
especially when I'm like facing down two Sandstorm Titans that are beating me down. And I have two torches. Like, am I supposed to double torch this 5/6, or am I supposed to double torch face? So there's a lot
Right.
of intricate racing decisions that I at least I had to make. And Sakuraki, who was watching
Definitely.
me playing on the stream, he's like, okay, you made a misplay here, you made a misplay here.
Right.
And I find myself making a ton of
No, I think
misplays.
that's a great misconception of the community of CCGs in general.
Yeah.
Like the dumb aggro player. I mean, it's true. Like you can win with an aggro deck without playing great, but there's a lot of room for improvement. Like playing an aggro deck 100% correct is really hard because you have to factor in a lot of things like when to go face, when to throw away units for damage, when not to, when to hold back units against the harsh rule, when to commit enough so that you have enough pressure, when to attack, when to block. Like there's a lot going on there.
I think especially for us, or maybe me, because I think both of us are more control-oriented player, right? We're more on the Legion side of things. We're playing a lot of, blue or Primo-based decks or Combray-based decks.
Right.
Fire has been a brave new world, at least for me.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. The last time I played Fire was like last August when I played the old Queen deck in closed beta, but I haven't played much of Fire decks. I mean, I guess Armory is technically a Fire deck, but
Isn't
it really isn't.
it? All right, guys. We're gonna conclude our episode one of Top Deck Time. Do you have any particular interesting question that you want to ask the viewers regarding of anything that we talked about today?
Yeah. Did any of the viewers like get Real Gun to work? Because we both sure didn't, and I think the card is interesting enough.
Look, I one shot at somebody when they were at, I don't know, 18 life, so I would say I got it to work.
All right, fair enough.
But I think that the question is getting it to consistently work. Because I ran into a lot of Ryogun deck, you know, that goes Ryogun on 4, and then I did nothing to it because I had no answer to it, but then they didn't do anything back to me. Like,
yeah.
Shouldn't I be dead, you know, when I do anything right to Ryogun? So, have you gotten Ryogun to work consistently? Because we haven't, and we're not very impressed with the card.
Nope.
So that's the question. We're probably going to post this on Reddit, so it'll be great if you reply back there. And also, do give us constructive criticism. This is personally my first time doing a podcast, and I believe that's it's the same for
yeah,
Rico as well.
Yep.
So we are definitely welcoming any constructive feedback to either improve our, I don't know, the way that we are delivering the information or just our speaking skills, or maybe Lumi talk less, let Rico talk more. That kind of
or
stuff.
The other way around.
I don't know. I think your voice is beautiful, and I think I talk too much.
Sky love between two guys.
All right, guys. That's the episode one of Top Deck Time. I hope you guys enjoyed it. He's Rico. I am Lumi, and we are signing off.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.